And I think perhaps the Master was indicating another body right there, don't you? He wasn't going to pick up another physical concept. That was our concept of him. And neither are we going to pick up another physical concept. We're going to find that we already have a spiritual body. And as we lay down the mortal sense of body, we will discover that even though we used to wince at that at one time, that we can now hardly wait for the day. Once we experience the possibility, instead of the frustration, and realize it really can be done, we are going to yearn for that spiritual body, to achieve the awareness of it. And when that happens, the Christ demonstration on the cross and the revelations that preceded that demonstration and the glories revealed after it are all going to be helpful clues to us on how we too can develop the sense of a spiritual body which lives now in the true creation. I even think we may feel this during the seminar. The Father is in me, and I in him. Oh, what a statement. We are looking at a man on a cross, but his words float back, and they say, the Father is in me, and I in him. Question number one. If the Father is in him, how do you crucify the Father? Number two. What does infinity mean? The Father, infinity, is in me, and I in infinity. Do you feel the power of infinity functioning in your life? The meaning of it, the glory of it, the incredible possibilities that are open to you when you are one with infinity in your acceptance? Do you see that tree of life there? That's the mystical tree. One with infinity. And it's the truth right now. The only partition is our own false mortal sense of being. The Father is in me, and I in the Father. Now, every time you see that word Father, remember, that's the initiate's way of expressing infinity. That is establishing a phrase with which every person on earth can learn to identify. Father. Because few could identify with infinity. And if you think it's too cold a word for you, too much like a computer, then, well, put the word Father with it. Infinite Father. And then it's not a cold word. Actually, it contains more love in 1 second than you and I could put forth in 20 incarnations. It is infinite love itself, infinite glory, infinite power, infinite life, infinite God. And you are one with all of it now. Just as the sun is one with all of the sunshine that emanates from it. But more, because the sun, you see, is not infinite. My Father is, and myself is infinite self. And if you cannot convince me of the untruth of that, I am free forever. If I cannot convince you of the untruth of that, you are free. And whoever can stand in the truth of that, facing whatever comes along, is doing and more than facing a temporary sense of crucifixion and standing firm on the true knowledge that I never need a defense. I need no army to defend me, no Peter to draw his sword, no quotations, no miracle workers, because it's already done. Already done. My Father and I are one. So go do your worst. Do your worst, Judas. What can you do? Do your worst, Pilate. What can you do? I am infinite self, and that's the fact. Now, that is our consciousness with which we walk through this world. And this is accepting your divine Father. When you are not infinite self, then you are not one with infinity. Because it has to be itself. It can never be less than itself. It can only be one with itself. He's showing you that Father and Son are really the one. Let us now clarify that your identity as infinity, standing in this truth, is again emphasized on the cross, because that is the hidden power. And that hidden power is making the demonstration to reveal that there is no death, that there is only life where death appears. And this life is experienced when you are united in consciousness with your Father, united with your Source. And if you will think for a moment of the many times when you were not consciously united with your source, you have located the gap through which the world mind has penetrated your armor. Plug that gap. I need not tell you that this is the path to the end of all human afflictions. Because those human afflictions are going to continue to knock at your door until you accept that you and your Father are one. That is why the afflictions are there. They are your spur. They will knock, and they will knock, and your response must always be, nobody is knocking. Nobody is there. All that is present is infinity. I and infinity are one. What else is there? And the full conscious power of infinity is functioning through my true being. And this seemingly knocking at my door to tell me about an affliction, a lack, a limitation, is trying to deny that I and God are one being now. If I let it, I deny my Father. And I do not benefit by the great demonstration that I and the Father are one. And therefore, in that knowledge, I am invulnerable to death and to every condition that leads to death. So far, not one word from the lips of the one on the cross can be denied by any man on this earth. There is no higher authority than the one who uttered these words. Doesn't matter what religion you go to, what human authority, or even a so-called spiritual authority. No one can deny these words. They were spoken by God. If I and the Father are one, thou seest me, thou seest the Father. And if the Son can do nothing of himself, then it must have been infinity who uttered the words. It must have been infinity that spoke through the so-called lips of Jesus and said, I and the Father are one. Infinity made the appearance of a crucifixion to show us the non-reality of form and the non-reality of death. To show us the non-reality of all deathly conditions. And finally, to show us the non-reality of all mortal conditions. Perhaps we're still lingering in our human conditions and our human convictions. unwilling to be convinced at this point. So today, of all days, let's continue with his words. Because every word is important to every moment that we live. I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, he's already told you who sent him, his Father. And we have clarified that his Father is infinity. So I should like it to read for our understanding as we decipher the shorthand. I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on infinity and knows that infinity sent me. And remember, to hear the word means that you accept the meaning for yourself. He said, I have been sent by infinity. And if you hear the word, you are saying, I too have been sent by infinity. That's hearing the word. And that's believing on him that sent me. Now, if you believe that infinity sent you, that means you believe that infinity is expressing its perfect infinite self as you. And that's what we've come to at this point. This is infinity. This is God consciousness saying, if you believe this that I say unto you, ye shall not come into condemnation. But you are passed from death unto life. Ye shall not come into condemnation, but you are passed from death unto life. Condemnation means that at the time of death we do not rise higher into higher levels of awareness, which you can interpret as you wish, as either reincarnation or just plain death itself. But certainly we are told here that there are two states at the time of death. One is condemnation, and the other is passing from death into life. Now, the real meaning of transition is passing from death into life. So we must also say that when we pass from death into life, it does not necessarily mean at the moment of human death. It may mean that where we are now, right this minute, is death. That we are moving in death. That our human life itself is death. And when we reach the last day, we are raised from this death, or this valley of the shadow of death, into life. If we have accepted ourselves to be the expression of infinity. Whereas, if we haven't, then we come under that state of condemnation, meaning we do not pass out of death. into life, but we return to death. We return to human life. And if the word death frightens you, remember, it's His word. It's the Father's word. You may call it the mortal dream if you like, but the fact is that many times we have been called the dead in the Bible. We may not have realized it. And we are dead because on the tree of God we are alive, but on the tree of good and evil, as material cells, even if we don't appear dead at this moment, it's either the next moment or the one after. Because every fruit dies on the mortal tree. But on the tree of life, the invisible tree, which is infinity expressing as you, there is no condemnation. No return to mortal selfhood. No return to the life which ends again in death. But rather you are passed from death unto life. Now look a bit closer. Note that he did not say you will be past, but rather it shall not come into condemnation, but is past, not will be. And therefore, if your consciousness now is the knowledge that I am infinity expressing, and there is none other, you have already passed from death into life. You have already accepted immortality now. And I'd say that probably in your various inner experiences, you've come to a place where at times you almost felt as if you were a permanent self. These are genuine moments of immortality, really experienced. And as these moments accumulate, you're going to find that gradually you have been becoming conscious, perhaps not on a scale so grandiose that you could identify it, but in your slow daily work with truth, you've been building a consciousness of your immortal self. That self which suddenly rises and takes dominion. The self which the Bible says comes quickly. Now, he's forcing us here to consider that if we do not awake before the dream, we must return to the dream. But if we awaken from the dream of mortality into the knowledge that I am infinite divine selfhood, now expressing where the world sees form, and therefore I am not this visible appearance, but one with infinity forever, then you're going to receive all kinds of inner help from that acknowledgement. Acknowledge me, infinity, in all thy ways, and I will direct thy paths. Let me go before you. Let me perfect and perform that which you are appointed to do. This is your inner self demanding release, demanding recognition. And the more you realize it, the more it takes you into the place where the dream becomes less real. About 14 years ago, I was here in Hawaii, and we met Joel at that time. It was in 64. And I remember coming back to the States after meeting Joel, being here only a short time. Nothing seemed real back there. Even the ships looked like gray specters floating across the ocean. People looked like paper cutouts. Everything looked like a faded page out of a 1920 magazine. Nothing had dimension. Nothing had depth. Everything was one paper cutout. Almost wanted to turn around and go right back. It was like another world. And I'd only been in it a short time before. And so it is that as our consciousness of self is deepened, the so-called reality of the world becomes more of a paper cutout. It really loses its significance. And I'm not really telling you anything new. I'm merely confirming what you probably have felt many times. Because there are great moments when we know, we can feel shadows which seem to be realities at one time, and the more you feel of your real self, the more you feel of the unreality of the images that float by. And of course, all this keeps moving us to the point of accepting the one indivisible flow in which there is no partition of human thought or human belief, so that the tree of life, the sap on the infinite tree of life, divine consciousness, is flowing through into every one of the outermost branches of your own being. I tell you, nothing can stop this force when you are one with it. And if we had this awareness now, we wouldn't need the next 8 classes. But I do believe that this one class today is going to fill a very important role in teaching us how to build the acceptance of one infinite self-expressing as everyone you know. When you feel that invisible infinite force flowing everywhere without opposite, you have caught the inner sap of the mystical tree. You've caught life itself. You've taken off the sense of a human garment without getting on a physical cross. But you have crossed mortality out of the consciousness by following the example of the one who had so attained that he could do this in the visible world for all of us to see and to understand. The Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that he himself doeth. Get that real picture. The Father loveth the Son and yet the world has believed that there was a Jesus dying on a cross. The Father is saying, the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things he himself doeth. We started out with a crucifixion, but now there's no one there. If we could make the mistake of believing that this man, whom the Father loveth, this man who has been demonstrating that he is not being crucified, and that he was specifically telling us that his words are being spoken, not by himself, but by the Father who showeth him and doeth all things. If we could make that mistake, then what about when we look at other people? We were fooled into thinking a form was there being crucified. What makes us think we're not being fooled into believing that there are other people walking this earth? How can you trust eyes or a mind which can be fooled by form in one direction and yet believe the very opposite of it in another direction? Wasn't the crucifixion a demonstration of the total hypnotism of the human consciousness, of the human dream life in form? You think I'm on the cross dying, and I say to you, I am the bread of life. I am life itself. I can't die. I'm not in that body, and that's why I'm not dying. And the life that I am is not being crucified in that body. I'm not in it. That's why I am immortal. He is saying, I am not in that body that you see crucified. I have a permanent spiritual body. And everything I'm telling you about myself and my Father, if you do not accept it as the truth of yourself and your Father, then you're rejecting your Father. My Father's life is the only life I have, says the Christ. And I am not in that body. I am life itself. Now, whose life do you have? Do you have the life of the Father? If you don't, you have no life. If you have, it isn't in your physical body. And if your life isn't in your physical body, are you in that body? Or are you infinite life, which is not on the cross called body? You see, it's a very difficult change of consciousness, but it's the truth. Furthermore, it can be demonstrated just by living it, and the fruits of it are manifold. we're beginning to be aware that for 2,000 years this Spirit of God has been demonstrating that we are not in these mortal forms, that we are the life of God, which is not encased, that our life doesn't begin or end in time, that it doesn't even occupy space, that it is a mystical life, a life that exists completely independent of physical form. And holding this form in consciousness has been a deterrent to our continued progression upward into new mansions. And he will show the Son even greater things than these, that ye may marvel. Infinity is on earth, not in the sky. Life is on earth, not in the sky. Life now exists on both sides of the false partition called the grave, and on both sides of the false partition called the birth. Your only life is infinite. Infinite life is the only life you can have. You must feel it, glory in it, sip it slowly like wine, until you really relish it, believe it, accept it. No parenthesis, no beginning, no end. Infinite life, with all the qualities of infinite life. That is the only life that we can acknowledge if we wish not to deny the fatherhood of God. That is the identity then of all of us now who appear in separate images called form. And with that identity, we can move into higher mansions of consciousness, higher and higher, and still higher, and shuffle off the false concepts that the world throws at us because of its unawareness of its divine Father, its divine life. We accept no second life because there's only one creator, one source, your divine Father, one with source is one with the Father, one with infinity, and that is a beautiful, liberating truth. I can of mine own self do nothing. Here again, the one on the cross is saying, I can of mine own self do nothing. And we must say, well, then who's doing it? The Father is doing it. He had learned to let the Father live his life, meaning he had accepted divine life. Now I am. I cannot see divine life. I can't see the invisible life where the world sees a man on the cross. But I know it is there, because it is I, And even though I cannot see divine life where human forms appear, I know divine life is there because it is I. Because the divine life is infinite and therefore has no opposite anywhere. This is standing on the tree of life. This is yourself, your power. When all the stones of human consciousness are rolled away, divine life does its own thing. Just as a leaf doesn't feed itself on the end of a tree. So consciousness rolls through the tree, feeding the leaves. And in that way, divine consciousness rolls through itself, feeding itself, bringing divine food into your total being. We're letting go. Trust means let go. Let divine self do its thing. By accepting divine self as yourself, I am the bread of life. And this bread I will give for the life of the world. That statement is a great climax. It is a statement that the life which is declaring itself, where people see form, is saying, no, no, form isn't here. I, the life, am here. And I will give this life for the world, not just for this one called Jesus. This is a universal demonstration. I give this life which cannot die for the world. And all it needs now is you, you, and you saying, thank you. I accept. And that's who we are. The Father of Christ is the secret of the demonstration of Christ. The Father of Christ is your Father. Anything you want to know about your Father, just look at Christ. Listen to what Christ says about the Father. Because that is your Father speaking through Christ, telling you about your only Father, your indivisible source. And by these words we learn to live. In our quietness now, let us recapitulate. All that the Father hath is mine. The Father hath everlasting life. The Father has omnipotence. The Father is all-knowing. The Father is everywhere. The Father is perfection. The Father is harmony. The Father is everything perfect forever. All that the Father hath is mine. This is a permanent relationship because I am indivisible from the Father. All that the infinite Father has is always mine. And just as these human eyes would see a man on a cross where only the Infinite Father is, so will these eyes see many afflictions that are not true, and many, many lacks and limitations, and many follies in this world, all untrue, because these eyes cannot see my Father and the infinite glories of my Father, or feel the infinite force of my Father's perfect self. But I am that force. I am the infinite force expressing. That infinite force is my true form, my true self, my true consciousness, my true life. I have no other. And all the glories of the Father are now flowing through my eternal self here and now. I am in the Father in me. I am not alone. The Father is with me. And now that I know and accept and believe this truth about myself, I cannot shorten the arm of my Father, but I must love my neighbor as I love myself. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They do not know that you are in them, and that the reality of them is in you. They have a false sense of self, Father, a sense of self that is always crucifying their own inner Christ by lack of recognition. This inner self that they know not, I am, thou art. We are untouched by the follies of the world. And this is our forgiveness. 70 times 7 and 70 times 7 again. Unsee the error, because it has no existence in truth. Bear the pain if you must, but bear it with the knowledge that error has no existence here where the infinite spirit is. The Christ of God is your Father. Never deny it, and you never lose the power of it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Ah, but we have found the kingdom of God. And therefore, the fruits of the mystical tree must flow. All things must be added unto you, because they already exist in the mystical tree of life. The adding is just to the human sense of life. There's nothing to add. It already is. And as you dwell in the knowledge of the isness of your true life, that which is called the outer form experiences the inner fruits pouring forth. We're not going to be satisfied with those outer fruits at all. We can see they're merely signs. We can't take them with us. No, we want the tree of life, not the fruits. Last night we met at 8:15, but we'll meet now at 8 o'clock that we're all assembled and know where the place is. 7:30 is the meditation every night. 8 o'clock is the class. And every morning the same, 9:30 and 10. Anybody who wants to get any information about anything connected to this class can go to Richard, to Eunice, to Doris, and I think you'll get your information. Okay? And me too, I guess. And we'll see you a little later.